Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
And what's interesting about the sale of the Oasis tickets tomorrow is that tickets go on sale here in Ireland at 8 a.m. For the as yet two Croke Park gigs, and tickets for all of the UK gigs go on sale at 9 a.m. And talking around the office today with Oasis fans who are really concerned, that hour extra that the tickets are on sale here in Ireland will mean that the Irish ticket sales will be swamped by people from all over the world, and they could get tickets ahead of Irish people. So that's one of the issues tomorrow. And then the UK tickets go on sale at 9 a.m. And we're not in different time zones, so nobody's been able to give us an explanation as to why that is happening. Anyway, Rebecca Cappuccini is a spokesperson for Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland. Rebecca, ticket sales, this is an age-old problem. Is there a fairer way of selling tickets?
Well, personally, I'm very old school in my demeanour, so I always thought that being able to go to a physical locality to pre-order tickets and have a system that deals with people to people, because then there can't be glitches, there can't be exorbitant queues, it's just the right people going to the right place at the right time. When we're relying so heavily on technology for things like this, it does cause problems and there's very few fixes available. So that would be what I would like to see return, customer-facing possibilities. Now, you can still go to certain shops and get tickets, but because it's being used less and less, there's less and less places to get the tickets directly off a person.
But even when ticket sales were, as you said, physical tickets and queuing up at a physical shop, it was also open to abuse. I remember queuing up once and the 20 people in front of me in the queue were all the same family and they all snapped up all the tickets.
Yeah, so things like limitations should be put in place. Like, you shouldn't be able to go into a shop or anywhere and buy more than a certain amount of tickets, because that's completely unfair. But I mean, I suppose that's similar enough to that woman that was just talking and saying that her and her whole entire family are going to be on their computers at the same time trying to nab tickets. No?
Is there anywhere in the world that does it in a fairer way? Or is there? I mean, like you said, you know, physical sales, I don't think we're ever going to go down that road again. So you know, we have to cope with the technology and the way in which tickets are sold at this moment. Is there a better way, a fairer way?
Potentially, if it wasn't monopolised. So like other countries where there is an open market for tickets, there would be lesser problems with technology glitching because everyone would have their own server. But if you're bringing everything to the one company and relying heavily on the one company in order to get tickets out there, that can cause, obviously, it's kind of like a gridlock of the system.
And I mentioned a moment ago that with the Oasis tickets going on sale tomorrow, they go on sale at 8 a.m. here in Ireland for the Irish gigs and 9 a.m. in the UK for all of the UK gigs. And nobody has been able to explain to us why that's happening.
I know, I'm going crazy trying to find the answer. I'm ringing around, I'm trying to get an answer off somebody else in the industry and no one seems to know. So I don't know, was it a clerical error? Is it the fact that someone in the office believed that Ireland was
a different time zone? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did think that.
You know what I mean? Like, was it set up by, were the ticket sales set up by an American company perhaps who genuinely didn't understand the geography? But it will cause problems for people trying to buy.
Yeah, no, like I said, a lot of the staff here in News Talk Towers today are pulling their hair out at the prospect that they could be done by people from outside Ireland getting the tickets an hour ahead.
Yeah, it's a very big possibility. But I mean, realistically, anyone coming from outside of Ireland, there's no accommodation, really. So they'll probably end up reselling their tickets prior to the gig. I'd say a lot of that's going to go on.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see. Hopefully it's not the case.
Other issues that obviously affect tickets is the VAT rate, for instance. That's at 13.5%, and obviously that's completely absorbed by the customer. So MEAI were in with the Minister of Finance last week trying to get that ratified down to 9% in order to support customers and musicians alike.
Okay, stay with me for a second, Rebecca. Robin joins me on the line. And Robin, you think it would make more sense for venues, as we already discussed, to sell tickets directly or offer yearly membership to buy tickets. How would that work?
Well, maybe it's a bit of a pipe dream for me, but I would love a venue that, you know, because it kind of builds that third space for people as well. If you were to use Olympia as an example in Dublin, if you were able to buy like a year membership and be able to go to, let's say, like 1 gig a month, depending on how much you want to pay. I mean, comparatively, there's an airline called Wizz Air who've just done the same thing for flights, where they've just offered people to be able to buy a membership to have flights for a year. And it enables people who are like these proper music heads who like going to gigs to be able to get to the gigs without the panic and stress that's going on. I mean, I know it could work out to be more expensive if you're trying to get an annual membership to Croke Park gigs, for example.
That's what I was about to say. And even physically selling 160,000 tickets from Croke Park would be a logistical nightmare.
Oh, yeah, it would be. But, I mean, I think if we kind of, it's up kind of about that demonopolization, if we're able to give the venue some of the power to sell their own tickets. You know, Wieland sells their own tickets, for example, and I always am trying to get their own tickets just because it just feels better than trying to rely on Ticketmaster all of the time. And they're not very good at their one job. So many people have problems with them.
But we live in a small world now, and we know, for example, for Taylor Swift's gigs a couple of weeks ago, people travelled from all over Europe to come and see her, some even from the States to come and see her here in Europe. I know Adele was in Munich over the summer months, and people literally travelled from all over Europe. So, you know, restricting it to the actual venue probably wouldn't work.
It mightn't work, but it would be good for the people who do live in the cities where the concerts are happening. So, you know, it maybe doesn't have to be all of the tickets, but if you could have a portion of them, maybe like a third of tickets for the gigs would be for, you know, the regular people who would be going to these places. I mean, now this might be someone who goes to an awful lot of concerts. It might only be something that will work out for me and the other people that I know like that. But I just think we've got to be creative if we're going to try and come up with a solution to this problem, because it is a problem. It's becoming so stressful, especially, and everyone's talking about Oasis coming up. It's like, who knows what's going to happen with these tickets tomorrow?
And it does sound like it's going to be a big headache for an awful lot of people who'll be up from 8 a.m. in the morning. Let me stay with me for a second. Let me read some of your WhatsApps coming into us on 087 1400 106. First message says, two tickets per person instead of four would mean twice the amount of people would get tickets. Does it actually mean that? I don't know if it does. Presumably, with regard to the Oasis tickets tomorrow, presumably the staggered on-sale times means that servers aren't overloaded. That doesn't even really make sense to me. You know, if you compare Ireland and the size of Ireland to the UK and the size of the UK, it doesn't make any sense that tickets go on sale an hour earlier here in Ireland at 8 a.m. tomorrow, and UK sales open at 9 a.m. Makes no sense whatsoever. Another message says, I can't understand how technology has made it almost impossible for most people to get concert tickets. Myself and three friends bought tickets to see Michael Jackson, the then biggest star in the world, in Parky Queeve in Cork in 1988. I was actually at that myself. How did we get the tickets? We went to a music shop and bought them over the counter. No hassle, no pre-registration. It's all a backward step, says Sean in Mayo. Now, Elaine Burke is the host of the For Tech's Sake podcast and joins me on the line. Is this the best system, Elaine? Is there any other better system?
I mean, as your previous contributor Robin pointed out, I'm a big fan of being able to buy direct from the venue. Like, I go to a lot of gigs in Wieland actually because of that. And that's the, you know, I can still use an electronic service, but I'm not going via Ticketmaster. I do find as a user Ticketmaster to be just unwieldy to use. It can be troublesome, especially when you've got the high demand ticketing systems like what we're going to have to see over the weekend for Oasis fans. Even the fact that there's this pre-sale ballot lottery thing going on as well. It's very convoluted and very complicated, but they're trying to introduce those complications, these things. And, you know, people don't even know what time specifically they're going to get the link to access the pre-sale.
And in fact, there's been emails contradicting emails, and nobody really knows.
Having problems. They're definitely having problems. But I think the purpose of doing it this way was to try and weed out people who aren't in it for like big fandom. But the problem is it won't weed out the scammers who are intent on getting hands on these tickets as well.
Yeah, because this particular ballot for the Oasis tickets, you know, previous kind of ballots of this kind have been loyalty based. If you bought an album or if you bought merchandise or whatever, my understanding of the Oasis one is was kind of made up on the fly, and you just had to answer a random question. Is that right?
Well, I don't know about the question. I must actually find out if that's what, because I know people who did get through the ballot process. But
in fact,
I know
I've just been told it asked the question, who was the original Oasis drummer? And you had multiple choice and you just had to answer it. And that gets you in.
Yeah, and I couldn't answer that. I know they had an original drummer, but I wouldn't know the answer to that. So I suppose that is one way, because Oasis haven't released anything in a long time. They haven't been an act together for a very long time. I think since 2009. So they did have to invent a route into trying to single out the fans. They don't run a fan club because they don't, you know, the two of them don't exist as a touring act until this week, where it was announced, and it was quite remarkable that it came about. Whereas like with Taylor Swift, you can go off of who bought my last album, who is a member of my fan club if you're a Swiftie, or the Bay Hive if you're a Beyonce fan. And I do think that they're good ways of, you know, making sure you're getting direct access to the fans, because the likes of the fan clubs and things like that, people are normally paying, say, a fee, an annual fee, a subscription fee or something like that, to be a member of that fan club. But that's not to say that that will weed out profitable massive scamming networks, but it will, you know, make sure that at least the majority of people getting access to tickets are fans and are actually dedicated to the act in question.
Any idea why the tickets are going on sale at 8 a.m. instead of 9 a.m. tomorrow here in Ireland?
Again, like I think you said, it's about trying to stagger things to make sure the systems don't get overwhelmed. Like, chances are things are going to go wrong. Like, Ticketmaster actually has precedence with this, and they struggle to do this. Those fees that we are all charged on top of the tickets, that you would think that that would be invested in better infrastructure. But most of Ticketmaster's technological investment seems to go to making it hard for you to pass on tickets yourself in a kind of more collegial way that doesn't involve giving them more fee charges and stuff like that. That's where most of their innovation money goes. In terms of supporting the ticket sales and making it a nice user experience for fans, I don't think they do a great job there. And let's not forget that they own a lot of the venues as well, so they just make a mint off of all of these big ticket gigs.
Elaine, thanks for your call. Let me go to Ruby. And Ruby, you've actually been scammed by people reselling tickets because you couldn't get access to them initially through Ticketmaster. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, so it was actually initially for the Nicki Minaj concert. Now, it wasn't sold out, and my sister was trying to get us tickets, but they were €80 at the time, and I just hadn't got the money. And I seen someone on Facebook saying, look, I have one ticket, €40, I'll transfer it via Ticketmaster. I sent the money, and I was blocked. I was blocked immediately. The account was gone. Everything was gone. I did try and get on and say, look, this person is a scammer. Don't buy off them, but they kept deleting my comments. I think it's completely ridiculous that, you know, people are buying mass amounts of tickets, then selling them, and then just taking people's money and not ending up going to the concert themselves with the extra money that they've made from taking other people's money.
And it, unfortunately, there are still, no matter what companies like Ticketmaster try to do, there are still scammers out there that are succeeding in scamming people.
Yeah, 100%. I've been on Facebook since yesterday, still trying to get my hands on Coldplay tickets, and you'll see in the comments people, their actual own Facebook accounts are getting hacked by scammers.
I actually had that exact experience last week. Somebody messaged me to say, oh, there's tickets available, have them here. And when you look into it, their account, and this is somebody who'd be a friend of mine on Facebook, had been hacked.
Yeah, and it's so easy to fall for. Like, it could be a mother-in-law's account, it could be a friend of a friend, and you're like, well, I've mutual friends, they wouldn't do that to me. You sent the money and it's gone. You've no way of getting your money back because you sent it willingly, or if you're sending it on PayPal, they're saying, oh, send it with family and friends. So the money goes straight to them and you're not getting any of the tickets that you're asking for.
And the one thing I, in fact, after that the other day, I said to myself, it proves the saying, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true, that somebody is offering face value tickets for Coldplay a few days before the concert. If that's what this particular Facebook post said, but it was too good to be true. Let me read a few more of your messages and huge interest in this. Why not get the buyer to register their interest in advance of the date? And then application closes and the computer randomly picks who gets tickets from those who applied, says Brian. That's kind of what they're doing with the Oasis lottery thing. If anybody else, by the way, has gotten an email confirming that they're going to get tickets for Oasis, let me know. We're not sure what time those emails are due to be received at. Another message says, what's wrong with the system that Wimbledon uses? A total lottery. Sign up to the lottery, provide proof of address. If you win a ticket, you get a certain period of time to pay. If you don't pay, the next person in the lottery gets the next opportunity to buy. Simple and fair, says Patrick in Gorey. And then one more message. I don't see why people can buy four, six tickets sometimes. It's ridiculous. It should only be two. Then some say, a family of four couldn't go. Well, sorry, most people go to gigs to get away from their kids for a day, says Woody in Drogheda.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.